มวยไทยคือชีวิต
From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida You are listening to The Striking Corner With Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto Your source for Muay Thai and kickboxing news worldwide
Hello, everybody. What's going on? Merry Christmas to everybody. I know it's December 26th today. Tuesday, December 26th, when you're listening to this. Well, it depends really because it's a podcast. So whenever you listen to it.
Tuesday is going to be the 27th.
27th. I'm sorry. Today is the 26th that we're recording this.
Actually, very festive. I didn't expect that from you.
I know, man.
I expect you to be more of like a Scrooge.
I'm a Scrooge online, apparently. I am not so much here on the Striking Corner. This is my happy place. This is my happy place. No. So how was your Christmas, man? Of course, this is Vinny Scotto, my good sidekick, if you don't know already.
I think they already know.
Oh, okay.
It was, the usual, just like any other holiday, too much food.
Too much food. Did you celebrate it with your fam or just you and Anna? Well, your wife.
Well, we went to my in-laws because my family's in Florida.
Oh, that's right. That's right. They're here. Yep. They're down here near me.
They are
in 80-degree weather.
Yeah, it's warm out, huh?
Yeah, man, it's really really hot. Which I kind of have a story about. Oh boy. Well, no, it's just that I had a very eventful Christmas. I mean, this was a strange Christmas for me, to be honest with you, because it was just weird all around. I don't know. It was complete with like fights, family fights, me getting in an argument with my wife, getting pissed off, sweating, running around, doing a bunch of shit. And that's kind of the reason I have a story is because it's a very Eric story. So for you guys don't know me personally, obviously, but some of you do, and Vinny knows me, and I can be somewhat of a klutz, I guess. I can be somewhat of an absent-minded person, and what happened was this, man. I actually had Friday off from work, so I was on Thursday afternoon. I was running around doing a bunch of stuff and finishing up whatever I had to do at work, and I ran out, I packed everything. And so I leave my office and I get home and I just, I kind of veg out for the next, on Friday and Saturday, really. And did some Christmas shopping last minute, a lot of bullshit like that, because that's how I wait until the last second. But anyway, on Christmas Eve, which was Saturday night, I decided to look into my bag from work, and I realized that I only have my work laptop, not my personal laptop, which is the one that we use to produce this show. And so I realized that I left it at work on Christmas Eve. Oh, and so the office is closed because it's Christmas, obviously. And dude, I called my boss. I called everybody. I was like, shit, I have to do a podcast this weekend. See, that's how dedicated I am to the cause. So anyway, I decide to drive all the way to Miami. I don't live in Miami. I actually live about 45 minutes away from my job. So I called the office. Some lady answers. She didn't speak English very well. But then I speak Spanish. So I realized, okay, she's Spanish. So I was talking to her. I was like, are you still there?
She's like, irrelevant.
Not very relevant to the story. I'm sorry, I'm rambling.
Nobody in Miami speaks English.
Yeah, that's kind of true. But anyway, so I realized that she's like, yeah, I'll be here till 10. So, dude, I fucking get in my car with Carolina. I leave my son and my mother-in-law at my parents' house, which is where we're going to celebrate Christmas. I drive all the way to Miami to get into my office. I get into my office, and my laptop's not there. Oh, God. So I come all the way back home. I'm freaking out. I'm like, shit, somebody stole my laptop. I must have left it in the office. Somebody took it, whatever. I'm ready to like ask the security for cameras and everything, but I'm like, I got to figure out what's going on or whatever. So I come all the way home. I come back to the house. I'm looking around. Mind you, this is like it's 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock at night, which if you guys, any of you that are Hispanic know that on Christmas Eve is really like our Christmas because we wait until 12 to open presents. And it's basically the way we do it. We don't wait until the next day to open them. So everyone's waiting for us at the house. So I come back to the house. I'm looking around. And then I realize after all this thought that I had seen Lucas take my, Lucas is my son, who's 20 months old. I'd seen Lucas take my laptop out of my bag. And he is right now at the age where he just throws shit everywhere. And he had
How long are you going to use the months old for?
I don't know.
And, well, he's pretty much two.
Okay. When he hits 24 months, I'll say two.
So like, you know, 3 years from now, you're going to say he's like 50 months old.
No. You use the months until they're two, I think.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Just
kidding. I think that's the norm. I think that's the norm. I think babycenter.com says that. But what was I going to say? So anyway, man, I get back home and I realized that I remembered that Lucas had grabbed my laptop and thrown it behind the couch. So I move the couch and I see my laptop, man. I finally find it. I had driven all the way to Miami. Freaked out like crazy, man. I was sweating like crazy because it's 80 degrees outside. Anyway, I drive to my parents' house and my mom's like, oh, I got good news and bad news. I'm like, what's the good news? She's like, the good news is it's Christmas. And the bad news is that our AC broke.
Oh.
So it's 80 degrees outside. So in my house during Christmas, it was like 90 degrees inside the house, man.
That sucks.
So that was my Christmas. Lucas was freaking out, man. He actually like took off his shirt and his pants and was just running around in his diaper because it was that hot. So that was my Christmas, man. Gifts wise, it was awesome though. So
what did Santa bring you?
Santa brought me, I'm very happy. You're probably going to get really elitist on me right now, but I was very happy that I got a Keurig coffee machine and,
I hate you.
Oh, I'm sorry, man. Not everybody can buy an espresso machine.
No, I actually don't even use the Nespresso anymore. I'm all about the Ninja Coffee Bar now.
Oh, my God. Best. Oh, so Sofia Vergara sold you on it, huh?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, she sold me all the way.
You know she's Colombian, right?
Yeah, I do, actually.
So anyway, that was my Christmas story.
That actually just dawned on me. A Colombian with a Keurig. What the fuck is that?
Man. Well, there's... Colombia, there is some great Colombian coffee that comes in K-cups. So yeah, it's fine, man. No, and I got the Keurig 2.0, which actually allows you to grind your own coffee and then put it in a reusable Keurig cup, a K-cup. I
see you do that.
Yeah. That's what
You're
I do.
You're never going to do that.
Dude, I did it. We did it today.
You're going to do it now for the first 2 weeks that it's new and it's fresh. But in 2 weeks, you're going to be buying some shitty Starbucks K-cups.
Hey, man, Starbucks is great coffee. Don't hate on Starbucks, man. I mean I remember when we went to visit you guys that the Nespresso machine made some fantastic cappuccinos.
Yeah, see, that's the thing, it really is amazing. Now it's just sitting in a closet somewhere because it's annoying. Nespresso, you could only buy the coffee from them. They don't have reusable cups. It's just it's a hassle. And then plus you have to order, whenever you order from them, the only place you can get it from is their website. It's changed. I haven't even looked into it, but it's, you have to order the coffee from them, from their website, and you have to order, like, there's a minimum on the amount you have to order. It's just, it's a process. Yeah. And then I spend $80 and I go through it in 2 weeks.
Yeah. And they have their own kind of cups, don't they? They're like these little capsules or whatever.
Pods.
Yeah.
I mean, they're really delicious, but.
Well, you know. I remember you had them and they were awesome. But yeah, man. So that was my Christmas. And then my wife got me the Xbox One, which means I'm probably never going to leave the house anymore, except to go to work. So because I downloaded FIFA, which, you know, me and FIFA, I am a huge soccer fan. I think you guys all know that. Vinny is too. Vinny is into FIFA, but I am insanely into FIFA. And I don't know what happened, man, but it's FIFA 17 is just ridiculously hard for me. I don't know why. And I'm getting like schooled by teams that should not be schooling me. And
that's because we're old now. Games are not as easy as they used to be. I had Xbox 360. I had Wii. I had a bunch of them.
Yeah.
And I went to GameStop like 2 weeks ago and I just sold them all because I don't even use them anymore.
Yeah.
I just, I don't know. It's just not my thing anymore.
It's still my thing.
I was looking at PS4 yesterday and I was like,
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I only play like two games on it, really. I don't have as much time anymore, so I get
What am I going to do? I'm going to buy a system just for FIFA and for Tiger Woods Golf. That's it.
Dude, you actually play Tiger Woods Golf? You must be the only person on the planet that plays that.
I do play Tiger Woods Golf. Those are the only two games I play, so what's the point? I mean, and how much time am I going to have, especially in February? I have a child coming, so.
Yeah. Well,
my video game time frame is going to be pretty short.
Well, our coach, Jose, that we love very much, has like six kids, and he still finds time to play Call of Duty like all the time.
I don't get it. I don't get it.
And he's like ridiculous at it. But anyway, I don't know. So anyway, this is our holiday Christmas special. For you guys that follow us on Instagram, you saw that really badass Santa that we put out yesterday, wishing you guys a Merry Christmas. I kind of messed up, and this is normal. This is normal for me. Our idea was to make a fan questions episode, but I should have started promoting that like a long time ago, because I think I promoted it like a day before or 2 days before to ask people for questions. And I'm pretty sure everybody was in the middle of Christmas shopping, because we got a lot fewer questions than we usually do. And then it wasn't like enough to justify an entire show of fan questions. So.
Did we get any at all?
We got a couple, but then I was like, they were like just from people that we know. So I was just like, oh, this is stupid, because I put it out too late. That's my problem.
Our fans just suck.
Do they? I don't know. I don't know. We have a couple people that are pretty involved on Instagram and get into things, but.
We love our fans.
Yeah.
Without our fans, we're nothing.
Yeah. Without our fans, we're nothing. Thank you, Vinny, for calling them assholes. And
I did say that.
You said maybe they suck. But anyway, no. So really, this is our
talk about more things that suck.
What else sucks?
I recently found out last week that now, because once again, MMA, since it's legal in New York.
Oh, man, this is the rant for Christmas. Here you go.
Let's smokers go. Are no longer allowed in the state of New York. Thank you, MMA. Pieces of shit.
Oh, man. But, well, they haven't been allowed in Florida for a long time. And I think in California, they can't do them either, man. So,
I mean, I'm you know what it is? It's not, to be honest, I'm not going to be a total hater. It's not MMA's fault. Mm-hmm. It's the New York State Athletic Commission. Now that MMA is legal, they're taking extra precautions, which in my opinion, a lot of them are really stupid. So I'm not going to blame that on MMA. I'm just going to blame it on the Athletic Commission, because they're not sanctioned, blah, 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 whatever. Who cares? Who cares? What's the big deal? It's just, it's not a real fight. You know, it's just basically a glorified sparring session. So why are you going to make them illegal? It helps guys get more experience so that when they do get in the ring, they have the experience to not get really hurt.
It only
helps them for when they do go into the sanctioned fights.
Yeah.
So,
well, I mean, I think, you know, honestly, I think with that whole thing, and there's a couple of people that probably know a lot about this, but the whole fight to get into MMA into New York was like a really nasty sort of political, you know, not sort of, it was very political. And I think this is the way. I don't think the Athletic Commission really wants to play ball with them. They're just trying to do what they can to sort of screw them over. I mean, with that whole like insurance thing and everything, to like make it difficult for MMA to really do anything in New York. So they're still going to be able to do it, but I'm obviously, like we were talking about one time, it was going to be like the bigger players like UFC and probably Bellator all be able to pay for all that stuff, but they're just trying to make it difficult. So what it affects is like the smaller guys, and obviously, you know, smaller shows can't do it. And now with this, like, I guess this idea of them cracking down on the sport or whatever, you know, Muay Thai suffers as well. So now we have obviously that smokers are not going to be allowed in New York, which really sucks, because I know our good friend that was on the podcast, Natalie Foos, was doing stuff, and you were taking your guys there. And yep. And I know, I think Krom has done them a couple times as well. So it really sucks, because, you know, it's an opportunity for fighters to get more experience, which we know that, you know, how many times have we done on the show that there is no really middle ground or jumping off point for some of our guys to go to pro. And so what happens is when they go to pro, there is not, like, we've talked about it with Eric Haycraft. I think Gaston Bolaños brought it up. Like, they don't fight often enough. to be able to, like, you know, the reason we're lagging behind in the United States sometimes when it comes to the pro ranks is because there's like, once the guys jump to pro, there's a couple pro guys, you know, there's only a couple pro guys out there that have like a 0-0 record for you to sort of build it up. And then maybe like a 1-2 or a 2-1 pro record or a 3-0 pro record or whatever. And then you jump from somebody like that to like fucking Tong Chai Sitsong Pinong or something, you know, which has like 130 fights or something like that. Oh, you know, these guys have to jump up and go into, you know, fight guys that are way more experienced right off the bat. It's sort of like, you know, a lot of our younger guys get thrown to the lions really quick. And a way to get them all really, really good experience, especially at the amateur level, is to fight consistently. And now that's even hard at the amateur level. If it was, it's already hard at the amateur level. You know, there's not a lot of shows, you know, people doing shows regularly, you know. So they have to wait until like summer for like the WKAs or the IKF or the TBAs, you know.
I wouldn't necessarily say that up here. There's a pretty, you know, decent amount of shows going on between, you know, New York, I know there's a couple guys that are doing shows in PA. Mm-hmm. So there's a, you know, decent amount of shows in the area to get guys, but a lot of them, you know, you see a lot of the same guys fighting.
Yeah. Well, I'm just saying in mass though. I mean, how many show, I mean, those shows have usually what? 13 fights on the card, you know?
Yeah, pretty much. But so, I know there's like two or three amateur shows going on in New York in February alone.
Yeah. But I mean, that's what I'm saying, though. Still, like, that's like, if you wanted a lot of our guys to consistently be fighting, there's got to be more shows than just one or two or three. And then, you know, I mean, it's just the way it is, man. I mean, and I think smokers were a way to sort of bridge that gap, too, you know. So either way, it's still losing some opportunities to fight, which is, you know, which sucks. But whatever, man. I mean, it's not really MMA's fault, although, you know, they can be partly to blame.
Yeah, I mean, I just, you know. I like to talk shit.
Yeah, I know you do. So anyway, guys, real quick, before we get into this next section of the podcast, I wanted to talk about our sponsors, which are MuayThaiAddict.com. They sell some of the best shorts on the market, guys. You guys go to MuayThaiAddict.com, use the promo code STRIKING and get 10% off your purchase by going to MuayThaiAddict.com and using that promo code. So really great shorts. They have some shirts. They have some great stuff. They work a lot with Lion Fight, so you'll see a lot of Lion Fight official gear from MuayThaiAddict.com. They're the ones who do the shorts for Lion Fight. Some really, really nice shorts that they do for Lion Fight. And as well as, I think there's the shorts that Kevin Ross used recently during that awesome head kick knockout that he did, that he got in Florence, Italy. Those like purple shorts that he was wearing. I think he's going to have them. They have them in purple and pink. Those are Muay Thai Addict. And I think they're going to go out pretty soon on MuayThaiAddict.com. So if you want those badass shorts from the Soul Assassin, pretty much the same ones he used to knock out his opponent, you can get them on MuayThaiAddict.com. Use the promo code STRIKING and get 10% off. We also have another sponsor, which is our good friends at Aquabag.
They're good bags. They come in a bunch of different sizes. They're really good for your boxing and your elbows.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want to kick them.
Yeah.
Because it kind of sucks, actually. But anyway, so boxing, elbows, really good on training your power punching and stuff like that. Aquatrainingbag.com. You can go there. Use the coupon code STRIKING2016. You get 10% off any of the bags. They actually just came out with a new one, the body bag, which is kind of shaped of a torso, so you could kind of work on your body shots, your head shots. So that one's pretty cool. I haven't gotten to work with it yet, but I've seen some videos. Looks pretty cool.
Yeah, actually, I saw a video the other day. I don't remember who it was working on an aqua bag, and it was like a massive one. It was pretty big. I don't know if it was at CSA Gym. I don't know if CSA Gym had. I know they have one, but I think they have one because I seen Gaston using it. But there was another one. Somebody else was using it, and it was. I mean, I would like to get one for. Maybe for Jose for the gym, you know. But yeah, man, they're really nice, man.
Well, make sure you use the coupon code STRIKING2016.
Of course I will. Like the rest of our fans will, of course.
Yeah, I actually have one, and it's pretty cool because you fill it up with water and it gets anywhere from like 150 to 190 pounds.
Nice.
So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. Well, all right, guys. Since this is the last podcast that we're going to have for 2016. We wanted to do something, a little bit different. And obviously what we were going to do is just kind of go over, some of the fights that we liked that stood out in 2016, pick some of the fighters that we liked, maybe some of the KOs that we liked, and really kind of just do a discussion of, let's just say, a striking corner best of 2016, pretty much like an award show, you know. And it's really, you know, this is the thing with these things, you know, you always got to do that disclaimer, is these things is there's so many fights going on all over the world, Muay Thai, kickboxing, everything, you know. We try to see every single one we can. We don't always see every single one we can. So really, this is our picks, both Vinny and I, just, you know, talking shit and doing what we want and picking what the fights that we want. This doesn't mean, you know, don't take anything personal, because some fighters love to take shit things personal. So, but anyway, we're just going to go through some of the ones that we liked and just talk some Muay Thai and close out the year and say what we love about specific fighters. So without further ado, this is the Striking Corner 2016 End of the Year Muay Thai Kickboxing Awards with Vinny Scotto and Eric Rivera. And yes, that is the official 2016 award show Striking Corner intro.
Oh, just for the record, I didn't pick any of these. It was all Eric. You hate him. He actually planned this whole section of the podcast and didn't even tell me. So I'm just going to let him go over it, because I don't even know who the picks are.
Well, you're going to be.
Well, you're going to be.
I want to see if you agree with them. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see what happens.
I don't agree with any.
Okay. All right. So with that said, and dude, my connection is terrible, but that's okay. Podcasting fixes everything. Editing fixes everything. Anyway, so basically, so yes. So the what we want to do is, I guess we would like to pick Fighter of the Year. The idea is Fighter of the Year male, Fighter of the Year female. Okay. Then we have Best Muay Thai Fight of the Year, Best Kickboxing Fight of the Year, Up and Comer of the Year, and KO of the Year. So really, you guys can chime in, you know, afterwards in the comment section and tell us, you know, which ones you agree with and you don't agree with. But the whole idea is really just that these are the ones we picked, that I picked, and Vinny's going to discuss, I guess, with them, and he'll either say he does or does not. But anyway, so for Fighter of the Year, male, I had on my list, I had a couple of people. Well, really, I just literally had a couple of people, which was two people. As Fighter of the Year for me, which were Fabio Pinca and Kevin Ross. Now, the reason is because Kevin Ross is 3-0 in 2016. He's 3-0 at Bellator kickboxing. But the reason, and it was between him and Fabio Pinca, and I chose, of course, the conqueror, Fabio Pinca, because Fabio Pinca has gone this entire year really... Because Kevin Ross, he fought in Bellator, is 3-0 in Bellator, has looked really good. He finished out the year with a beautiful head kick KO at Bellator 4, Kickboxing 4 in Florence. But Fabio Pinca has been on a tear. Just to kind of show you guys who he has beaten recently, starting from the most recent win, he has wins over Masabo Mirani, Liam Harrison, Andre Kulubin, Reese McAllister, Charlie Peters, and those were all in 2016. He also beat Aziz Halali and Yang Shuo. And then the only loss he had this year was a split decision to Ti Ying Shua. And that was a split decision in China, which sometimes I take a lot of the Chinese decisions kind of with a grain of salt, especially if it's a foreigner fighting a Chinese fighter. Because I've seen some really, really like bullshit, you know, fights. But I haven't taken a look at this one, but it's he lost by split decision. But besides that, based on the fact that he won all those, you know, that he took on guys of that caliber, Masabo Mirani, Liam Harrison, Andre Kulubin, Reese McAllister, and Charlie Peters, and he beat them, I give him the Striking Corner 2016 Fighter of the Year. What do you think, Vin? What do you think? Oh, come on, man. He's just sitting there looking at me.
I lost my train of thought. No, I could see that. Fabio Pinca is, you know, he's definitely awesome. Mm-hmm. Had a lot of good wins this year. Mm-hmm. And I would agree with that one.
So Vinny agrees, which means that is now official 2016 Fighter of the Year from the Striking Corner, Mr. Fabio Pinca. There you go. Let's go way back in the day to the Windows 3.1 ta-da sound. All right. So that was Fighter of the Year. But no, really, Fabio Pinca is honestly, you know, one of my favorite fighters. I have a lot of favorites, obviously, but everyone's my favorite fighter, really. But just seeing him this year, I think I've talked about it with different people online. He's just been on a tear recently. Everybody can agree on that. He has been doing extremely well. The guy's 32, still got a lot of fights in him. So, you know, I think moving forward, I can't wait. He has a big fight set up with Manawan Sitsang Pinong, I believe, for February. And we are actually trying to get him on the show for one of our next podcasts. So stay tuned for that one. But yeah, Fabio Pinca definitely, for us, Fighter of the Year. Just a talented fighter, and just went through a lot of really, really tough guys this year and looked phenomenal doing it. So that is our pick.
Huh? Did you pick him because you truly think he's the Fighter of the Year, or are you trying to brown nose to get him on the podcast?
A little bit of both. But okay. No, just kidding.
Fair enough.
But really, no. I think he deserves it. Out of everybody that I looked at, I think he deserves it. So, and not only that, man, because he fights, what I like about him too, is he fights both kickboxing and Muay Thai, and he's really, really good at both of them. He's done well in both rule sets, you know? So, I mean, he's in with Liam Harrison, you know, he fought Muay Thai, beat him at Muay Thai. With Masab Amrani, it was kickboxing, and it was a phenomenal fight. It was the one that I was arguing that I don't know why Glory didn't put it on the pay-per-view portion of their card. You know, they left it at the bottom half, so we couldn't see it until, like, on ESPN2 or on ESPN3, I'm sorry, or until later. And I was kind of pissed off because that was actually the fight that I wanted to see most. More so, and forgive me for saying it, but more so than Badr Hari, Rico Verhoeven. I wanted to see Fabio Pinca. Yeah.
You know, he's so awesome, right?
Why? Because, oh, okay. I know where this is going.
Because although he is French or from France, he's of Italian descent.
Oh, of course. Of course. Yeah. So, you know, another one he's not on my list. He wasn't on our list because he's been inactive, but he was on our list for KO of the year, but we'll get to that. It was another compatriot of yours. But anyway, so let's go to Fighter of the Year, Striking Corner Fighter of the Year 2016, for Best Fighter of the Year, which obviously female this time. And really, this is kind of a toss-up for me. I know it's going to be controversial, but I wanted to say that our pick was between two people that have yet to face each other. I know there was a little bit, I don't know if it was any shit talk, but I know there was like a little bit of a calling out between one of the two. They were initially going to fight, they were in the same promotion at one point, and then they were going to supposedly fight in another promotion at a tournament. And then what happened is, I don't know what happened, but they ended up in two separate promotions. So obviously, if you guys know what I'm talking about, our picks are between British fighter Iman Barlow and American sweetheart, American fighter, American time bomb, Tiffany Van Soest. Now, Tiffany Van Soest hasn't been her most active year. She has four fights this year, so yeah, pretty active. Her last fight for Lion Fight was against Ashley Nichols, which we actually interviewed Ashley Nichols before that fight. Wins a unanimous decision over Ashley Nichols in Lion Fight, a whole bunch of controversy about the belt and all that stuff. Ends up leaving Lion Fight, goes to Glory. Iman Barlow was supposed to fight in that Glory tournament that was going on right now that Tiffany Van Soest just won. Iman Barlow doesn't, for some reason. I don't remember what it was. She says, I think they said it was something about contract issues or whatever. She doesn't end up fighting for Glory, ends up fighting for Lion Fight. And so now she's in Lion Fight and Tiffany's in Glory. Who knows when they'll face each other, but they're both very, very talented fighters. So let me just go down what made us make our final decision. So Iman Barlow in 2016 has wins. She's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. She had five wins in 2016 against the likes of Maribel de Souza, Maria Lobo, Veronica Petrikova, Jerry Seitzis, and Ilsuri Hendricks. So two of her fights were at Infusion Live. One of them was at Lion Fight 31 in Mashantucket, Connecticut against Jerry Seitzis, who has also fought Tiffany and lost against Tiffany. So two of them were in Muay Thai. Three of them were in K1 rules. Now, Tiffany Van Soest had four wins in 2016. One was Ashley Nichols. One was Esma Haas, Jessica Gladstone. And then her last fight to win her the women's super bantamweight Grand Prix final in glory was Amel Debbie, who at that time was undefeated. So she took it and she took the glory belt. So I would say it was a bigger stage. We went with Tiffany Van Soest. So Tiffany Van Soest is our 2016 Fighter of the Year female. But we have a little bit of a caveat there, which is we would like to see her eventually face off with Iman Barlow, because both have fought pretty tough people and fought the same opponents at some point and beat them. So we'll see what happens when they finally face off. So it might be a tie, but we're going with Tiffany Van Soest because she actually ended up with the Glory 36 belt. So what do you think, Vin?
I'm good with that.
You good with that? You good with that? So since Vin gave his seal of approval, Striking Corner 2016 Fighter of the Year female is Tiffany Van Soest. There you go. Yes. So Tiffany Van Soest, but like I said, I would like to see her and Iman Barlow fight. I think Iman Barlow mentioned it or something, and Tiffany Van Soest took it as a calling out. Went through social media. Would love to see these two fight at some point. I really think it would be an awesome fight. But another thing that's happening in Glory, and I think you guys gotta keep an eye on this. We like our friends over at CSA because that's where Gaston is and Kevin Ross is, and Coach Kieran Vitz Gibbons has been doing really well over there with his team. There is another girl coming up through Glory. She's going to be fighting in Glory in January. What is that next? The next one is January 20th, I believe. It's Soyla Frausto. Very, very tough girl, man. Very tough fighter, man. Tough female fighter. Can't wait to see her. And it would be interesting. It would be interesting to see how she does in Glory against Tiffany. And I can't wait to see, you know, her get into the mix. Obviously, we have another, you know, tough fighter that's fighting in Bellator now, which is Denise Kielholz, who has actually beaten Tiffany, but beat her under infusion rules, which allows throws. I think if Tiffany was allowed to do Muay Thai and fight Muay Thai against Denise Kielholz, I think Tiffany has the edge. I would like to see that fight under Glory rules or Bellator kickboxing. Who knows what's going to happen, but 2017, a lot of options for Tiffany Van Soest to continue to cement herself as one of the best in the world. So that's that. All right. So Vin, let's talk about Fight of the Year. Which fight stood out to you?
Oh man. I don't even want to say. There was so many good fights over this year. I have no idea. That's like probably one of the toughest things to say.
Yeah. So I think, like I said, I'm a little biased. And also the ones that stick out in my mind are very recent fights. Obviously, man, I'm a fan. I know you're a super fan. I really liked seeing Georgia Petrosian back in action against Jordan Watson. I think it was a great fight at Bellator. I don't know if it would fight of the year. I don't know, but definitely it was awesome for me. It's one of the ones that stood out the most. Daniel Ilunga versus Michael Dute at Glory was a crazy fight, and that was also recent. Crazy, crazy fight. So I really like that one as well.
I think you can't really make a call on this one because you're going to – like fight of the year –
yeah.
I mean, do you really remember all the fights that you watched in February?
No. I mean, I'm not.
It's hard to make a call.
It's hard to make a call. Yeah. But that's what I'm saying. So what we decided to do is just kind of go with, I mean, also we stay true to the Muay Thai circuit. So actually Muay Thai's put out their, showcased the two fights that won Roger Demern Stadium Fight of the Year and Lumpini Fight of the Year. So basically, you know, those are the two that we're going to name. So basically the Roger Demern Stadium Fight of the Year was the ninth encounter between Sangmani Muay Thai Tex, Tanan Choi Tanan Korn Jim, which those two guys have fought nine times already. Always an incredible fight. Sangmani is one of my favorite fighters right now. Tanan Chai always gives them a fight as well. Great fight. Check it out on Muay Thais. Sangmani versus Tan Onchai. That fight happened on September 14th, 2016. Check it out. But that was rated as the Rajendramurthy Stadium Fight of the Year. Always amazing when these two guys face off. So make sure you check that one out. So that's Fight of the Year for Rajendramurthy. So let me Rajendramurthy Stadium Fight of the Year. Yay! All right. So that was that one. And so for Lumpini Fight of the Year, the Fight of the Year was Prakapet Eminent Air and his insane comeback. And I think some of you have seen this also on Muay Thais. Versus Detrit Sor Penprapa. That is Fight of the Year 2016 for Lumpini Stadium. You guys can check out all these on our good friend's website, Timo Ruga from Muay Thais. Check it out on his website. That one, again, is Prakapet Eminent Air, and he had a crazy comeback to win his fight against Detrit Sor Penprapa. So that's Fight of the Year 2016 for Lumpini Stadium. There you go.
Yeah, but see, now you have to name Fight of the Year for Lion Fight and Glory and Bellator, because you can't just be biased to the stadium in Thailand.
I know, but I'm not being biased, because those were Fight of the Years named by the stadiums themselves, not by myself. That's because it's too hard to pick, man, because I don't remember everything that happened at Lion Fight. If Lion Fight comes out with a Fight of the Year, we can call it. If we're talking Bellator, I mean, Bellator's only had a couple of shows. I'm going to go out on a limb. I'm just going to say that for me, the best fight of the year for Bellator was Giorgio Petrosian versus Jordan Watson, because it was the biggest one they've had so far. And it was spectacular. Good, two solid Muay Thai guys, ended with an awesome KO. So that's my pick. I don't know. What you think?
I mean, that was a good fight. But if you want to talk about Giorgio Petrosian's fight, I thought his last fight, which was 2016. Against what was his name? I think it was in Germany. Who did he fight? I can't remember his name, but that was a really good fight too.
Was that against Enrico Kell or?
I think so.
Let me check. Checking here for you guys. Giorgio Petrosian. His last fight. No, he had Jordan Watson. Oh, are you talking about when he fought Josh Johnson? No. He fought Jordan Watson, then he fought a guy in Italy. He fought a guy in Italy, Ravi Bruno.
Nope. Wasn't.
No, man, then you're talking about two. If it's in Germany, I mean, no, the last fights he's had have all been in Italy and then two in China.
Maybe I'm mistaken where it was then.
Well, yeah. But because one of the ones that stood out to me, I mean, the Enrico Kell fight is very good.
That was a good fight.
That's 2015.
Oh, well, then I'm just all screwed up.
So for Jordan, I mean, he did well against Josh Johnsey. I wouldn't say that was Fight of the Year. Josh Johnsey is still an up and comer, solid guy, solid fighter. But that was also 2015. In 2016, he's only fought in China and Italy, which was against Ravi Bruno, who's from Brazil. And Jordan Watson. So if we're going to talk Bellator, Bellator Kid Fight of the Year, I'm going to give it to Jordan Watson and Giorgio Petrosian. The only
thing coming ahead is fights from 2015, then you should just continue and I'll just keep my mouth shut.
Yeah. Anyway, so Jordan Watson and Giorgio Petrosian 2016 Bellator Fight of the Year. Oh, man.
There were a lot of good fights in Lion Fight.
Yeah, there were a lot of good fights in Lion Fight.
You got Regan Earsole and Joe Nutterwhat. That was a nice KO, but
that was a good fight too. I mean, Regan.
Yeah, like there was a lot of good fights.
Yeah,
a lot of good fights out of Onion Topic.
Yeah, a lot of Gaston Bolaños had that amazing fight against Krompet. Then he fought also Tum Sityodong. Solid fights, man. Solid fights. I mean, the one against Krompet was awesome, especially just considering how experienced Krompet is against Gaston. Real controversial, the outcome that, you know, it was given to Krompet, then it was overturned and given to Gaston, through no fault of his own, really. But anyway, I mean, those were solid fights. Joe Nutterwhat, his last fight against Hassan Toy, tearing Hassan Toy apart, you know, his fight against Regan Earsole when he got KO'd. Dude, there were so many good fights in Lion Fight. To name one would be sort of doing a disservice to a lot of the guys there. I mean, to pick one, I don't know, man. I don't think I could do that. So it's harder because they're more active too. Glory as well. But I think Glory, a lot of people are going to be talking about this this Michael Duhut versus Daniel Ilunga fight was insane. I know you didn't see it, but you should definitely check it out. But that was a really, really solid fight. But also, I gave Fabio Pinca fighter of the year. I really loved his fight against Musaba Mirani. I really loved his fight against Liam Harrison. You know, there's so many different fights that could be fight of the year. And then for Glory, I mean, there's just a lot of solid fights. I mean, there's like guys like Nicky Holtzkin also. His fight against Kongolo was really good. So there's a lot. It's really difficult to pick on that end by promotion, especially two promotions that are so active, which are Glory and Lion Fight. So those, I don't know. We'll see if Glory comes up with a highlight list and a Lion Fight. Lion Fight comes with a highlight list. I know they've been doing KOs. So we'll wait for those, but we're not going to go specifically to those, but for fight of the year, I mean, we gave you some of the Thai ones so that you guys can check out.
Yeah. I mean, there was good fights with, Sidichai and Van Roosmalen too.
Well, Van Roosmalen always is awesome to watch anyway. So, as is Nicky Holtzkin, although, you know, I make the criticism that Nicky Holtzkin in his last fight did not look like the same Nicky Holtzkin. He's been showing some chinks in the armor. He did against Myrto Groenhart initially in that second fight they had. In the third fight, he took him apart well. But against Cedric Duembe, he was just way too much of a slow starter. I don't know what happened, man. He'll come back stronger than ever, but still. But anyway, man.
Next topic.
Next topic would be. I picked my favorite KO of the year, because, again, there's so many different ones that could be listed. Giorgio Petrosian's against Jordan Watson was in my running because that, if you watched the Bellator kickboxing show and you saw the hook that stumbled Jordan Watson, man, that thing was so fucking hard that Jordan Watson, man, like, and I love him. I don't want it to sound like I'm making fun of it or anything, but that hook by Giorgio Petrosian was so hard, man. Jordan Watson was like, dude, you saw his eyes, man. They went into the back of his head. He looked like he was almost out on his feet he was pretty much out on his feet, and Giorgio continuing to hit him probably woke him up, but it was just insane. And then he also, obviously he gets the standing eight, and then, you know, Giorgio Petrosian pounces. But that one hook, I remember it. And the reason it stands out to me is because just the look on Jordan Watson's face when he got hit, man, that it was just so brutal. So
I obviously, you know, I'm a big Giorgio fan. He's probably my favorite fighter. Mm-hmm. But I thought that on that, speaking of that card alone, I thought that Kevin Ross and Joe Schilling's knockouts were just as awesome.
Yeah, I mean, I think so too. I mean, Kevin Ross's was awesome. Joe Schilling, his knockout was good too. But I just thought the other guy was way outmatched. I mean, Joe Schilling was way too much for that guy, man.
I mean, I always, my personal opinion, a head kick knockout always trumps a punch knockout.
Oh, no, no. And I'm not saying that Giorgio Petrosian was my pick. I'm just saying it stood out to me right now because it was one of the most recent ones. But, and that's not even the one I picked. Then, you know, to another one that was an awesome knockout, Regan Irsel versus Joe Nodawad. Just to the simple fact of how young Regan Irsel is, and then, you know, the fact that Joe Nodawad is so experienced and just how he set up that head kick is probably one of the best KOs of the year, at least from the Lion Fight standpoint. Beautiful. One of the best KOs. There's another KO that's kind of not really a well-known guy, but he's in Glory. It was a spinning heel kick in Glory. The fighters were Guto Innocente, I think is his name. And I forgot, I'm going to look up who it was that he actually fought in that fight, but that was a spinning head kick KO. And that one's got to go in there as like one of the best ones as well. It was against spinning hook kick against Demario Dennis, Glory 27, Chicago. KO spinning hook kick at 40 seconds in the first round. spinning hook kick KO. If you guys haven't seen that one, you guys got to catch that one. Beautiful kick. So that one was also one of, like, at least my nominees for KO of the year. And that one comes from Glory. So I've given you kind of a Lion Fight one, a Bellator one, a Glory one. But my KO of the year, and I put this one on the Striking Corner. You guys can see it on their Instagram. It is a fight from Thailand. It happened on September 8th, 2016 at Rajadamnern. It's Petaksin Sorsamoy knocking out Jumpichit Sitchefbuntam. If you guys got to go see that fight, Vinny, I think you've seen the video. It's the one where the guy's like hammering him with elbows to the, like, and it almost looks like he hammers him to the back of the head with an elbow and just beats him like he stole something.
Yep.
That is my KO of the year for me. Obviously, since I'm the Striking Corner host, I am saying that that's KO of the year because that just was such a nasty beatdown.
I guess I'll just go fuck myself then.
Yes. But that's my pick for KO of the year, man. If you guys haven't seen that one, check it out. We have it on the Striking Corner. I said it's something like the beat them like they stole something. He really looks like he was just really pissed. And he like hits him, just knocks him the hell out with like an elbow that looks like it hits the back of the head. Like a downward striking elbow, which never happens here in the United States. And I don't know why they're illegal. But still, downward elbow, almost what looked like the top of the head or the back of the head, knocks this dude right the hell out. Petaksin Sorsamoy versus Jumpichit Sitchefbuntam. So those are really easy names to remember. But anyways, you can check that out on Muay Thai's. Our good friend Timo Ruga, check it out. It's titled Brutal Beatdown. Check him out on Facebook and look for that knockout. That is our knockout of the year for the Striking Corner as picked by me. So anyway, those were the Striking Corner awards for 2016 as chosen by Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto, mostly Eric Rivera.
You forgot the biggest award of the year.
What is that?
Biggest douchebag of 2016. Would that be me? Eric Rivera.
Oh, would that be me? Oh, yes.
Where's my fucking sound?
Three for the win. Tell me, what were the things that led to this nomination and then subsequent award?
Oh, you can't just pinpoint.
It's not just one thing.
One event. There's I mean, the whole year.
All right.
You know, you commit at least two acts of douchebaggery a day.
On a personal level or on the podcast?
Oh, all together.
All right. So, yeah, douchebag of the year goes to Eric Rivera. Then I'd like to nominate Vinny for most talkative of the year on the Striking Corner podcast. Oh, God. Oh man. But yeah, so that was the Striking Corner Awards, ladies and gentlemen, for 2016. Take it as you'd like it, with a grain of salt. Like you said, it's ours. It's our decision. All that stuff is subjective. It's really each person is going to make their favorite and pick their favorite fight. But now I'm giving you guys time, because before I didn't give you guys time to chime in with our fan questions segment. But chime in on the comments below. Tell us who you really felt, who you would have nominated, who you liked the best. Really, it's everybody. Everybody's going to have an opinion on what's the best fight. Oh, I'm sorry. We missed Upcomer of the Year Award. Upcomer of the Year Award, hands down for me, just personal opinion. And I think Vinny would agree. For me, I just want to see more of him. I think he's solid, awesome fighter. It's a little bit biased because he's a friend of a friend. But I'm going to go with Gabriel Massetti. That's who I'm going to pick for up-and-comer of the year.
I mean, he's good. Yeah. What we saw of him was awesome.
Yeah.
But we only saw him fight once this year.
Well, actually, he just fought again. Just fought in – no, not in Lion Fight. He fought overseas, and it was a solid win, man. So
I didn't see that. But, again, I would like to see more of him before we give him any awards. there it is. That's what makes you win your award.
another one that could stand out as upcomer of the year, but like Regan Ursel.
Yeah, I think that would That would be a better one.
A better one? Well, okay, so that would be Vinny's pick. Regan Ersol. Yeah.
You're just being biased because they're from Peru. You lived in Peru. So then you both all speak the same language. So.
yeah, maybe. But so I guess those would be, I mean, Regan Ersol, I think, would be the better pick, but I am being biased. I just really liked Gabriel's style. Yes, I do like the whole Peruvian takeover. Yes, I do love the fact, I think Gaston has rapidly become a friend of the podcast, and I just I'm a big fan of his. And those guys coming out of F14 in Peru are looking really, really solid. So that was my pick of, just the guy that maybe to watch out for.
Yeah, I'm not saying anything bad about him. From what I've seen so far, is awesome.
Yeah.
I think we need to see a little bit more before we can, put him up for any awards. Okay. I mean, not like the, physical, tangible award. It's just what we're saying.
But it's not, exactly. It's not like we're, sending out any trophies or anything. There isn't any monetary value, dude. It's just, so. I know. Just saying. But anyway, so that is our pick. Those are our picks of the Striking Corner 2016 Viewer's Choice Awards. The Viewer's Choice being Vinny and Eric.
What's with the sound effects today?
I don't know, man. It felt festive.
Okay.
Here's another one. I should have put this one on before.
And now, a Striking Corner exclusive. Exclusive.
Holidays changed you.
I know, man. I'm just in the spirit. Oh, God. All right. So, with that said, man, we've gone on an hour now, and I think that's pretty good for a podcast. I think we said everything we wanted to say. Did you have anything that you wanted to add, Vin? Are you thankful of anything for 2016? I mean, this is the last podcast of the year. So let's talk about what we're thankful for, Vin. What are you thankful for?
I'm thankful that we're almost done with this episode and I don't have to talk to you anymore.
I'm pretty sure people either turned this podcast off a long time ago or this might be the episode where we officially jump the shark. Anyway. So anyway, no, but honestly, I guess to get on an emotional note here, not really, but you know what? I think a lot of people, and this has been said, this was actually said by K1 Anoop last time he was talking about it. And I don't want us to like toot our own horn or anything like that at all. A lot of stuff goes into the podcast. And actually, I wanted to tell you, Vin, I mean, a lot of work goes into the podcast more than people know. We gotta sit here and take time out of our day and out of our families to sit here and produce it. As you guys have seen, like I've gone out of my way to make sure that everything's produced correctly. I have a lot of great people that were behind me, in starting this podcast. As you guys know, I used to work in radio. I'm not working there anymore. I do content for another company now, but, the guys that worked there had 20 years of experience, more than that, 30 years of experience in radio. And they have really lent a hand in making the podcast sound the way it does now. When I first started it, I started it alone. And then I decided to bring Vinny on. And now we've done actually more episodes, Vin, than I had when I was alone. So I think it's
without me, you're nothing.
Yeah. So no, I think what happened is, and you know what, man, I want to say this, and I kind of want to get your perspective on it, Vin, because when you first started out, when I first decided to bring Vin on, he was a little bit apprehensive about it. Let's just be real. You're not a huge talker, but you are a big doer. Vinny has been a guy that's been behind the scenes pushing me, making sure the business is running. Like I said, I do kind of sit back on my laurels and sort of just try to wait for things to happen. And Vinny's the guy that's constantly kind of pushing me. So a lot of the things that you guys have seen from the Striking Corner of trying to work and do different things and do the podcast and keep them consistent and trying to do more stuff is really Vin. And the one thing I got to say, Vinny, that I'm really happy in 2016 and I want to get your opinion on it is that you were very apprehensive at first about doing the podcast, but since then it's almost like you've opened up and you were telling me like a little while ago that you became happy that now you're like motivated to do it. You're kind of happy that we're doing it. I mean, yeah. I mean, I just want to know like what kind of turned around for you?
No, I don't know. At first, you know what it is? I don't like to hear myself. Mm-hmm. And I don't know. I'm sure a lot of people feel that way. I just didn't want to do it. At first. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've been doing the Striking Corner and Muay Thai's life and all this stuff for I don't know how many years now. Mm-hmm. We started in 2005 with all this trying to grow the sports.
Yeah, yeah.
So then when you started the podcast, you started on your own, and then when you told me you wanted me to do it with you, I was just kind of like, yeah, I'll give it a shot. But I think I was more nervous than anything.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But then after a while, like doing it, the nerves kind of settle down, just like anything. Just like when you first start fighting, you have, you know, crazy nerves and adrenaline dumps. I mean, I didn't have adrenaline dump doing a podcast, but, you know, your nerves kind of go crazy and everything. So, but now that's kind of went away and I enjoy doing it now. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, just, you know, kind of shoot the shit. You know, there's no one right here saying, shut up, you're an asshole. I mean, if people are saying that, that's, you know, I don't hear them, so it's fine.
Yeah. So,
but it's just, I kind of have fun doing it now. So,
yeah, I mean, and that's the thing, man. I think it's done a big turn. In a lot of sense, we have a lot more support. And I think everybody out there that does listen to us, listen, guys, we don't, you know, I'm not going to go out on a, you know, everybody knows I'm a huge, I would love, if any of you guys know these guys, I would love for you guys to, you know, hit up guys like, you know, Joe Rogan and the Fighter and the Kid and, you know, and they would hopefully one day notice us and be like, hey, you know, these guys are doing a pretty good job. But, you know, because really those are the guys that inspired me when I first started doing this to do a podcast. The reason I really brought Vin on board was because I was like, we need a dynamic. Vin and I have a really good dynamic, friendship. Like sometimes we say that, like Vinny's in New York, I'm in Miami. If we were both, and we're going to do these eventually at some point, where we're going to have these podcasts where I'm in the same city as Vinny, actually upcoming in 2017, we already have something planned. I think the dynamic would change the same way that you see it on guys like the Fighter and the Kid or Joe Rogan when he has somebody in the studio. The dynamic will probably change a lot more and we can be a lot more, I guess, ourselves when we're in the same room. Sometimes it's tough to do that via, you know, when we're separate, you know, like when we're via Skype.
Fun fact about Vinny.
Yeah. What about?
I never listened to anyone's or our podcast up until about two episodes ago.
Oh, you mean like your own or
yeah, everyone? I've never listened to our podcast or anyone else's up until about two or three episodes ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And why was that?
I don't know. Just never did.
Yeah.
And I said, I don't like to really hear myself because it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
But I just never listened to anyone else's either. But then now recently I've started and you know, I'm just trying to get that karma going. Listen to other people's. Maybe other people listen to ours.
Well, not only that. I think it's important to do it because you sort of get an idea of what's making other guys successful. The whole idea with the Striking Corner with us, and I think, you know, Vinny and I have had this conversation is there's a lot of, unfortunately in Muay Thai, there is a lot of, although the community, I would say, is somewhat united, there is a lot of bullshit. I don't know why. There is sometimes a lot of pointing fingers at who does what better and what things like that and who's better at what. I don't know. I mean, there's sometimes the community breaks up like that, and I don't know why that happens. I'm pretty sure we have our people that don't like the podcast, you know, whatever. But I think Vinny said it one time, and this was way back in the day when we started. It was like the whole reason I think the dynamic of the Striking Corner has changed, I think that we're starting to attract more people and we're doing a lot better. I think in our personal, we're growing in the way we want to grow. We don't have huge numbers. We're hoping to move into that direction, obviously. Sometimes you get disheartened by it. Like sometimes if we don't see growth, we're like, oh, you know, why are we even doing this? But at the same time, Vinny has been the one that's pushed me and when that first started. And now I've seen growth and I've seen support growing. And so everybody that listens, I really appreciate that. But I think what's important and what I appreciate Vinny for was because he kind of pointed it out to me was don't go into any business, I guess, trying to like one up another business or go into it like with a negative mindset. You know what I mean? So like, you know, that you want to beat out the other guy or whatever. I think that was probably one of the main things that I learned. And so now I just go in with a positive. I mean, there are very little outlets for Muay Thai, I think. There are very few of us doing podcasts. There are very few of us doing covering the sport as much as it can be covered, or as much as, let's say, MMA. So, you know, why be competitive about it? I'm not competitive with anybody anymore. We just do our thing, you know? We just do what we want to do.
That's the way it is. You can't worry about competition, because at the end of the day, yeah, even though the Muay Thai community is small, there's enough listeners for everyone.
Yeah, exactly. There's enough people that are going to like us or not like us, and they're going to go to whoever they like or whatever, and we're just trying to be cool with everybody. I mean, obviously, you can't be not everyone's going to like your product. It's the same way as any big product, you know, as any big brand, you know, is going to have people that just aren't attracted to it. But we don't go into this with any negativity, and I think that's been a turnaround, at least for me, you know, from going from Muay Thai's life to what is now the Striking Corner. The mindset changed into, you know, we're just going to do us, have fun with it, not try to stir up any unnecessary controversy for likes or, you know, for clickbait or anything like that. I mean, that's not really who we are, and we just have fun, you know, and we go into it with a positive mindset, and I think that's helped. I mean, a lot of you guys that listen to our podcast and have helped it grow, that we have seen it, you know, we've increased in subscribers, we've increased in listens, you know, and a lot of people have actually hit us up from like the UK and from different places around the globe saying that they're fans of the podcast. I mean, that means a lot to us, and I hope we continue to grow in 2017, and I'm really happy about that. But that's just kind of like kind of letting you guys know what's happened behind the scenes. Like, we really do invest a lot of time into creating it, into editing it. Of course, like I said, I have friends that have helped us with the sound effects and the intros and everything to make it really well produced. That's the whole thing. I want to continue making it sound very professional, to be more of a professional podcast, so that you guys feel like there's a quality product representing your sport. So yeah, that's the idea. And then, you know, that's our end. But it's not work. We love doing it. And that's it, man. For 2016, we're happy, and we're moving on to 2017, man.
That's basically Eric's very, very, very long-winded way of saying thank you, guys.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm the talker. You're not the talker, dude. You know, that's why you won the award for most eloquent radio podcast host of the year. All right, guys. So with that said, guys, thank you for listening. And just before we go, really, you guys can always check us out on our website at strikingcorner.com. Strikingcorner.com is where we have, aside from, you can find the podcast there, you can also find articles written by our good friend, who is now one of our fellow contributors on the Striking Corner, and is writing a lot of good stuff about everything that's going on in Muay Thai kickboxing all across the UK and here in the United States. And that is our good friend K1 Anoop, who's helping us out. So shout out to K1 Anoop. And he was also on the last podcast, if you guys want to listen to that. Strikingcorner.com, that is the main website. We are also on Facebook, facebook.com/strikingcorner. We put up a lot of videos, pictures, everything there as well, and as well share our articles. So do us a favor, go over there, give it a like, share the stuff you see, and comment. Leave us a comment about this show. Tell us what you thought about, you know, our picks for Fighter of the Year and all that type of stuff, and who would you would like to see, or who you thought was the best fighter of the year. We're good. It's okay if you don't like our stuff. And so that's, and then also check us out, obviously, social media, Instagram at Striking Corner, which I love to post stuff up on Instagram, as does Vinny, and also on Twitter at Striking Corner. Besides that, you can contact me directly if you guys want to at eric@strikingcorner.com. You can also find me on Instagram, Eric Kausamrit. That's the name of the gym in Thailand that I first started going to and I fell in love with. So Eric Kausamrit on Instagram. For any general inquiries, go to info@strikingcorner.com. And Vinny, how can they find you on social media and via email?
Email, you can get me at vinny@strikingcorner.com. And media outlet as Vinny Scotto, S-I-M-T.
Yep. So that's how you can find us, guys. We're an open book. If you want to hit us up, let us know. Just drop us a line on any of those social media outlets. We're always on there. We're trying to comment back to you guys. We're just two regular dudes. We're not like any, not doing anything. You know, we're just trying to grow this sport and, you know, keep it going. So besides that, remember, MuayThaiAddict.com. Use the promo code STRIKING for 10% off. Aquabag Striking 2016. Use that promo code to get 10% off as well. Those are the guys that have been helping us out in growing the Striking Corner podcast. Shout out also for 2016 to our good friend Krom, Christopher Romulo at Krom United. Make sure you guys follow him on facebook.com/KromUnited. He's been a big supporter. Also, shout out to Chris Tran from Warriors Cup. A lot of guys have been helping us out and just, you know, showing love. So I'd like to thank all of you. Gaston Bolaños as well, been a friend of the podcast, and Kevin Ross, those guys. So that's it, guys. Happy Merry Christmas. Obviously, that was a couple days ago. And a happy 2017. Happy New Year to everybody. And we will be back in 2 weeks with a new podcast, our first podcast in 2017. Thank you guys for listening.